Greetings, everyone. Welcome to Church at Home. This is Fred Coulter. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. Now, we're going to give you an update on the coming mark of the beast. Now, I want you to go online to cbcg.org. And I want you to download The Stealth Revolution in Religion and Government, because you need to know what is happening as we are building toward a one world government. And it's coming big time. It's prophesied that it would come, and it is developing at a very rapid rate, as we have seen in the segments that we've done on transhumanism and how men are racing to create new men, new animals, new plants and things like this by confusing all the genetic code, splicing them together to see if they can come up with something grand and great, greater than what God has made. Likewise, there's a coming, the mark of the beast. Now, let's talk about it and understand something very important. It comes from the 13th chapter of the book of Revelation. Now, isn't it interesting? In the Bible, number 13 is the number of rebellion. And chapter 13 talks about two elements of this deception. One, the world government. And why hasn't this been understood in the past? Well, simply because it deals with the end time. And the wording here has to do with the whole earth. Even the Apostle John, who was told by Christ to write this vision down, he couldn't understand it. Down through the centuries, people have read it, learned men, theologians. They didn't understand what it meant. Not until toward the end of the 20th century did they begin to understand it. And that's because what is described here in Revelation 13, given back in 95 AD to the Apostle John, is the most up-to-date prediction and forecast 1900 years ago how the world would become. It starts out with a beast, 7 heads and 10 horns, straight from Satan the devil. Let's read it here, verse 2. And the beast that I saw was like a leopard, and its feet the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his throne and his great authority. The dragon is Satan the devil. This is Satan's government, combining all the governments of the world. The leading governments are being brought together. And I'll bring some sermons on cbcg.org about forcing change to bring this about. Now notice, and I saw one of his heads as it were slain to death, but his deadly wound was healed, and the whole earth was amazed and followed the beast. Now when it says in the Bible, the whole earth, all nations, all people, you need to understand it means exactly that. Verse 4, and they worshiped the dragon who gave his authority to the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like the beast who has power to make war against him? It's going to be an awesome worldwide dictatorship. And it's also going to cover governments, education, science, and finance. Now, here in chapter 13, it talks about the government and economics. But let's see the authority that is going to be given to him. Now, after his deadly wound was healed, it says here in verse 5, any mouth speaking great things and blasphemy was given to him, and authority was given to him to continue 42 months. Now, that's 3.5 years. Prophecies in the Bible show that the last 7 years are the critical years. Now, you can go online to cbcg.org, and you can download our series on the prophecies of Daniel and Revelation. And we have some charts to go with it. You see, the information in the Bible is so deep and so broad and so detailed. This is not an emotional, give your heart to the Lord thing. This is, you better wake up and understand there's a God in heaven, and Satan rules this world now, and he's going to deceive the whole world. And do you want to go down with him, or do you want to be on God's side? Listen, I want to tell you something very important. God is never going to be on your side. Never going to be on any man's side. You either get on God's side, or you're going to be on Satan's side. And in between is a great pit, an abyss. So we're all going to be confronted with, what will we choose? Continuing, verse 6, and he opened his mouth in blasphemies against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and those who dwell in heaven. Yes, they're all aliens. And when Christ returns, you know that they are going to look and think that this is an alien invasion. Because all the nations are going to fight against Christ as he returns. I want to tell you, the Bible talks about world events, big time things, greater than any man has thought of. It's going to affect all people. Let's see what power he had. Verse 7. And he was given power to make war against the saints and overcome them. And he was given authority over every tribe and language and nation. And all who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If anyone has ears, let him hear. Do you hear? Do you believe God? Do you believe the words of God? Or have you been so deluded by other religionists that you think they're all kooks? Well, there is the truth. And there is God the Father. And there is Jesus Christ. And there are true Christians. And there are true teachers who will teach the word of God. That's what we are dedicated to do at Church at Home and Christian Biblical Church of God. We're not interested in traditions of men. We don't care about the theories of men. We are not interested in saving this world. Only Christ can, and we want to be a part of it when Christ does. Now let's see what else happens. Verse 16, about the mark of the beast. And let's read this. And let's understand what it says. And let's see how this must come into being and in fact is well planned and beginning to be implemented in the world today, right now. So let's read it. And he, that is the beast that we just read of, causes all. Now when it says all, it means all. Each and every one in the world, the small and the great, the rich and the poor, regardless of your economic condition, the free and the bond. Does that cover everybody? Everybody in the world, except the true Christians who refuse the mark of the beast and are martyred. So this is not a good time religion. This is not a happy time. This is the struggle between Satan with men and God and his angels and the saints on the earth. who are willing to stand for the truth, who are willing to stand in spite of the threats that have been given by men, willing to stand and give their lives as a witness, because Jesus gave his life for them first. Causes all to receive a mark in their right hands or in their foreheads. Now, we have done sermons on that. They have a tattoo that they can put right on the arm, although it doesn't last for more than 4 or 5 days. Just with the bioelectronics of the human body, they can, from a distance, monitor your heart rate, how your body is functioning. They can also use it to send communications. But it has one other primary function. Now, it's going to put on. The Greek there is epi, and in, on and in. Now, this becomes very important to understand, because in order to set up the system for that to take place, it has to be brought in by incremental movements. And it has to be brought in a way where it is to be a benefit to people. Now notice the signature thing that happens, verse 17, so that no one may have the ability to buy and sell unless he has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. The inability to buy and sell. Now, years ago, the Seventh-day Adventists used to say, probably still do today, oh, the Pope is going to institute worldwide Sunday observance. That's the mark of the beast. Because, you see, the Roman Catholic Church and the world religion that is coming, as we've already covered on Church at Home, is a beast. But not Sunday keeping. If it were just Sunday keeping, could you shop on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and most of the world, since they don't keep the Sabbath, would do so on Saturday? That cannot be the mark of the beast, because the Greek here has the absolute force of the impossibility to buy or to sell. Do you understand that? Now, let me use an example. When was it that credit cards came into vogue? Right toward the end of the 1950s. Out came MasterCard. Later came Visa. Later came Discovery Card. Gas cards, etc. All had a number, correct? Now, what if you lost your car? Or what if you overextended your credit? Can you buy? Can you sell? No, you can't. Now, there is a system coming that is going to introduce and set up the system for the mark of the beast. And as Satan always does, when he brings out his program, it's for good. It's going to be a benefit. It's going to make you be able to have things that you've never had before. He doesn't tell you there's another aspect of it coming. And that other aspect of it is, once the mark is perfected, which will probably be an invisible tattoo, so that the sloughing off of the skin will not interfere with the functioning of the mark. They will control you. They will send programs of thoughts into the minds of those who receive it. But you can't tell people that at first, because they would reject it. And oh, by all means, you must destroy all Christianity, because they would read Revelation 13, and they would resist this. So how's Satan going to do it? And of course, he's got all the big corporations in the world and the banks in the world behind it. And it's being set up to be brought to every nation. So how is it going to be brought in? By bringing a benefit. Now, first, the system must be set up, a worldwide system. So you can't put the mark of the beast on people right away. So the system that they are devising is this, which will be the last step before the mark of the beast, which is this. They are going to bio-identify every human being on earth. Bio-identification of the iris of the eyes, the fingerprints that you have, and the structure of your face. Now, those cannot be the mark of the beast, because that is the identification of the individual. But what people are not told is that bringing this system in sets up the system for the mark of the beast. Now, what we're going to find here is that the nation of India, isn't it interesting that they have chosen a non-Christian nation? Because if they tried this in America right now, why, there would be such an uproar they couldn't get it done. But in India, it's going to be hailed as a wonderful thing. Now, what we're going to do, I want you to watch this 2 or 3 minute clip, video clip, of what they are doing in India right now for the bio-identification of everyone in India. And how it's being received with open arms. And how people are looking forward to getting this identity clarification so that they can receive benefits.
Technology has barely touched Meera Devi's daily life. In her hut, muscle, not machines, gets the chores done. She and her family are among the millions of Indians who live in obscurity, unaccounted for on government rolls, unable to apply for government benefits. Right now, we don't have an identity, so life is very difficult. We're all very poor, so if we earn, we eat. Otherwise, we get nothing, she says. That is about to change for Meera and perhaps millions like her. At this center, Meera Devi, a woman who has never even used a computer, is coming face to face with cutting-edge technology that will give her an official identity for the very first time. Her irises and all 10 fingerprints are scanned with biometric devices. They're uploaded and then sent to a massive server. Once this information is processed, out comes a 12-digit number for her and her only.
So our goal is to get to 1 million a day. And to get to about 600 million people in us enrolled in the system in the next 4 years.
And eventually all of Indian citizens. Nanda Nilekani, the man who helped usher in India's booming outsourcing industry as CEO of Infosys, was asked by the Prime Minister to head this new government program. India's unique identification program started just a year ago. If it succeeds, India will become the first country in the world using biometric data for identity purposes on a national scale. Its first phase is aimed at the poor, who for decades have had to deal with a local, sometimes corrupt bureaucracy to get benefits that don't transfer if they migrate.
It's about giving a number to help people get benefits.
Devi is hoping it means access to more food. With this card, we'll be able to get rations, rice, oil, wheat, sugar, all these things will be cheaper. Rickshaw operator Motilal just received his card. He says the identification opens doors to other possibilities. I got this card made because I'm hoping I can open a bank account and I can take loans and save money for my children, he says. But this cutting-edge technology identification system doesn't cut it with the few critics out there who say this program is far too expensive and far too intrusive. They worry the government could potentially use this data against its citizens. And the estimated price tag for the program adds up to about $2 per person, or about $2.4 billion. But right now, the critics are few, and the masses keep coming, many hoping the official recognition as a citizen will mean a slightly better existence. Sarah Seidner, CNN, New Delhi.
That is an amazing documentary when you think about it. And just think how it's going to be. Reports will come back how wonderful this is. Oh, we're helping the poor, we're helping the uneducated. And we can have a systematic thing, yes. And it also means everyone's going to pay their taxes. It also means everyone's going to be controlled. Now, here is a report on it online. India has launched a program to allocate a unique identification number, UID, UID, to each of its 1.2 billion residents. The number will be linked to three core pieces of biometric data, including a photo of the face, 10-digit fingerprints, and iris scans of both eyes. The UID Authority of India will start to register people this month with a view of identifying 600 million people over 4 years. Now you hear 4 years, and it sounds like a long time. But they must get the system in place first. And this is a whole new numbering system, which will then work for bringing in of the mark of the beast. So this gives the identification. Although it's not obligatory, a number of social services and some banks will require people to have one. Now, if you don't have one and you go into the bank and say, I'd like to cash this check, well, who are you? Well, here's my driver's license. Do you have the new bio-identification card? Because that's the only one that we are going to use. Sorry, you cannot cash this check. Now, here's one of the things that they're going to do. It says that they are going to alleviate poverty. That's the goal. When you look at India and how absolutely poverty-stricken that nation is, oh, this is a good thing. Really, if they'd preach Christ and repentance, it would be a better thing. And God would bless them. Now continuing, it says, the biometric ID card system in India will see all 1.3 billion Indian citizens receive an ID card that authenticates their identity through biometric checks. The project will succeed in India, where they tried to do it in the UK and it failed, because this is about alleviating poverty rather than privacy. Now, let me just say this one thing. You go online and you look up all these things concerning biometric face scanning, etc., and you're going to see that every human being on Earth will receive this. Then, when it's up and functioning, the whole world will be controlled by the world government, and no one can buy and sell without it. And the whole database, the whole global biometric database, is known as Server in the Sky, that will collate and provide an international information consortium with access to the biometric measurements and personal information of citizens across the globe in the name of fighting the war on terror. Won't that be a wonderful thing when they do that? Starts out with kids in school. Already in Scotland, they have the ID check on children in school as young as 4 years old. This is a long report. I don't have time to read all of this on Church at Home. Oh, now the military is going to be in on this too. Biometric surveillance. Once everybody is identified with this, their cameras in the sky will be able to look down on the earth and find any human being and take a picture of him immediately and know who you are, what you're doing, where you're going. Are you a terrorist or are you on the approved list? Now, question, should you resist the biometric measurements? No, because that is not the mark of the beast. That is only the first step because your fingerprints are yours. Your iris pattern is yours. Your facial features are yours. Your human body cannot be the mark of the beast, but that's the last thing that anyone can accept before the mark of the beast, because they will find that this system still has its flaws, so then we need to identify each one on their person. And without it, you cannot buy or sell. So that's how the mark of the beast is going to start. As if, is it a wonderful and great thing? And man will now be able to be at peace with his neighbor. How do you like that satanic scheme? Now we need to be alert. Jesus told us to watch. Watch the things that are going on in the world. Understand the things that are being fulfilled in prophecy in this very day that we're living in. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home, and be sure and go to cbcg.org and download the material that we have there, and be sure and download the sermons that we have on the stealth revolution in government and religion, as those will astound you. And that's only part of it. And maybe then you'll begin to see the great, great, vast scope of Satan's deception in the world. And do you want out of it by turning to God, or do you want to get swallowed up in it? The choice belongs to every human being. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home, and this is Fred Coulter saying, until next time, so long, everyone.